Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome, and thank you for coming and being part of Mariners Church. My name's Paul. I am one of the pastors here, and it was hard getting up this morning for me. It was one of those nights where you know it's coming. You know you're going to have to get up, and it's early. So you wake up every hour to check the clock. You know, it's one of those, and you realize, I'm not getting any sleep tonight. Hey, if you're here for the very first time, a special welcome to you. We're so glad that you chose to come out. Maybe you're checking out churches on the coast, and we're one of them, duh. But we're coastside people that are wanting to grow in our faith and know this incredible God that loves us so deeply and makes our lives better. And so if you're like that and wanting to check out God or check out churches, you're very welcome here, most welcome here. Make sure at the end of the service you go to the little horseshoe table, kind of as you come around in the lobby, and we have a special gift for you if you're here for the very first time, so please do that. We're going to invite everybody, if you haven't already, to take a moment and fill out this blue card. It's in the seat back in front of you. It's just a way that we can begin the process of connecting with each other, and if you could do that, that would be a terrific thing. There is a space for any prayer requests or thoughts, and if you write those things down, we do have a team of people that will be praying for you this week, and so make sure you write that stuff down. At the end of the service, we're going to be passing around some buckets. Just drop those in the buckets as it comes by, and that's where we can collect them. Also, we take offering at that time. Offering is just to keep this place going and rolling and happening, and so your gifts go to that. If you are a guest with us, don't feel any obligation to give. We're just really glad that you're here today. Can we take a second? I just want to open up our time in prayer. Can we just, Lord, I pray, God, that you would speak through me and speak to us in your Holy Spirit, through your spirits, and bless these moments now. Also, what's going on in the children's program around us. May the kids really learn today how much they are loved by you. And we thank you. Amen. Thank you so much. On a back road to Pescadero, Stage Road, there's a street, and it's just lined with eucalyptus trees. You may have seen it if you live down there. And these things are big, and these things are fat, and they're there. And after the storms, you go by, and once in a while, these trees what? They fall over. And when they fall over, you can look and you can see that they are really old, and you can see that they have pretty shallow roots. And the life lesson's obvious. What is it? Don't get old, okay? You get old, you're gonna fall over. But also, the other lesson is you need a better what? You need roots. You need deep roots that are established. Here's what we want, and this is what the Bible says. Let your roots grow down into him, and that would be Jesus. And let your lives be built on him. And what it's trying to say is the closer and deeper I am to Jesus Christ, and the closer and deeper I am to God, the better and stronger my life will be. Okay, that sounds really good, deeper into God, closer to God. That sounds really nice. What does it even mean? What does it mean I'm going to get deeper into God? And what does it even look like? And we can all say it, yeah, I really need to get closer to God. I really need to get deeper into God. But what does that look like? I mean, what's that going to look like this afternoon? Or what's going to look like tomorrow morning? How do I even do it? We're in a series this whole year, and we're kind of theming it Thrive, because I like the logo Thrive. I think it looks really cool, and it's really bright and all that. And Jesus, however, said this, I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. And that means a life that is filled with thriving. And it's all of life. It's not just a spiritual life that we're supposed to have, that's supposed to be full and abundant. It's actually spiritual health and emotional health and relational health. It's living as a whole person in this world and being able to enjoy everything that God has done and everything that God has made. It's being able to not just simply survive this thing, but it's an ability to thrive in the midst of it, to even take your past and realize that that can be redeemed for today and even for tomorrow. It's you as a person being loved and helped by God, and you become healed from stuff like anger and bitterness and enslaving memories and the bad self-identity and shame that we have. It's that that Jesus says, I will give you a life full of abundance so those things can be either set aside or redeemed or brought into healing into your life. Now, the Bible says this. It says, the nearness of God is my good. And there it is again, nearness of God, you know, closer to God, drawing closer to God. And so we're in a series that we're calling Drawing Near to God, because we want to know how to do that and how to do that better. And I really, really, really want us to get all that it means to draw close to God, because that's where you're going to thrive. And that's where you and I are going to find healing and strength and growth and not fall over on the road. And so we're talking about drawing near to God. And we talked about a couple weeks ago, prayer. What does it mean to pray? To pray. Now, I'm not talking about saying prayers, because anybody can say prayers. You can teach a parrot to say a prayer. We're talking about praying, drawing near to God in communicating with the one who loves you so much. And that's how you draw near to God. Last week, Matt talked about the Bible, how that's God's love letter to us, how God has communicated to us his heart and his thoughts and his plan and his will. No one gets a letter from somebody that loves them and just simply says, I'm going to open it sometime later. You open it and you read it and you ingest it, and it becomes a very full part of your life. Well, today we're going to talk about worship. Worship, drawing near to God in this funny thing called worship. And you look at that word worship and you think, what is it? You know, what is it? And you're saying, easy peasy. That's the music part of Sunday morning. You know, that's the worship part. Like we have music, that's worship. And then we have Paul talking, and that's what? Boring. Okay, so somebody said that's boring. You know, we have the worship part, that's the music part, and then the Paul part, and that's the teaching part or the talking part or the boring part or whoever you want to say about that. I always ask the worship team to do a stand-up loud song before I get up here. And there's a reason for that. The reason for that is so you don't doze off when I talk. It's to get the blood moving. So it's all strategic, okay? It's all strategic here. Now, it's hard to define worship. And it's a hard word to define, isn't it? When you think about it, it's kind of tough. I say, because some people will say to me, well, I can worship God at the ocean, or I can worship God walking through the redwoods, you know, and that's true. You can do that, and you better do that, because God designed it for that. I mean, that's why God designed those things, for you to go out there and to be able to see him, and he displays who he is through all that kind of stuff. They reveal God's creativity and his magnificence. Well, some people also say this. Well, okay, worship is everything I do. Everything I do is worship. Everything I do is worship. My whole life is worship as I live for God. And that's true too. You know, that's also kind of true as well. But as Dash in The Incredibles said, he said this, if everybody's special, then what? Nobody's special. If everything is worship, then what? Nothing's really worship. You know, you just kind of bland it out. Worship is a necessary deal for you and me. As we intentionally, and there's an intentionality to this, draw near and focus our time and our emotions in loving God for all he is and all he does. I focus my time and my energy, my emotions, my attention. It's intentional. I mean, there's an intentionality to it. I have to say, this is now me shifting my focus from me and my little world that I try and construct to God. I'm focusing myself on that intentionally. I focus on expressing love to God for who he is and for what he has done and what he's doing. It has to do with all kinds of things. It has to do with surrender. It has to do with acknowledgement. It has to do with awe and wonder. And with opening my life to God in praise and adoration, it has to do with me as a nothing approaching with humility and love, expressing my love and appreciation to God. I guess you could say it's putting God again on the throne of my life. Does that make sense? On the throne of my life, intentionally, again. Because if you're like me, I have a tendency to what? Bump him off. And it's putting him back on and acknowledging who he is and what he's done. Well, can I do that anywhere? Yeah, you should. You should. In fact, that's why it says the heavens declare the glory of God. Did you see the stars last night? Yeah, if you didn't, shame on you. They're just gorgeous. I mean, they're beautiful out there. And God makes this really, really awesome playground that we call Earth to reveal himself. And he makes it really easy to say, God, you're great. I mean, just think, we on the coastside have advantage of seeing God's beauty in the place we live. Those in Bakersfield have to work a whole lot harder to do that, but we have it really simple right here. And we have on Sunday a time to focal point our worship. I'm not saying this is the only time you should worship. In fact, if this is the only time you're worshiping, that's not enough. And the team works really hard at this, and they don't just choose songs, but to create an environment to make it easier to focus on God and who he is. We want to do that. And if the nearness of God is my good, then I really think if it's for your good, then I should, or if it's for my good, then I should be having more times than just this to worship God. There better be more times for me, at least, than an hour on Sunday or a half hour on Sunday. God's nearness is your good. It's putting God back on the throne again. And the deeper dive into this one and understand this is why it's to your good. When I lose sight of God, I lose sight of myself. Okay? I lose sight of myself. And I was designed to be in right relationship with God as God, and me as not God. And again, all of us, every person I've ever met has a tendency to shove God off the throne and trying to crawl up on the throne themselves. And to intentionally put him back on again is my good, to be the authority and to be in charge. I was driving in the city this past week, actually, and I was looking at my map app on my phone. You know, I have that. And I always do this. I am not a digital native. You know, in fact, I'm a digital alien. I think, you know, I don't get this stuff always. And I set the map app or the app map, whatever, right? And as I was putting my phone, I brushed against it, you know. And I must have pushed some button that I don't even know existed. And all of a sudden, I watched the map just kind of go spin all around. And what it did is I pushed it off so it lost true north. It lost north. So I'm no longer looking at my phone going north. And the streets in the city are sometimes windy. And the voice said this, go east at the next intersection. You know, east at the next. So I turned one way, because I don't know which way is east now. And then it said, turn south at the next intersection to continue back on your route. So I know I'm lost, and I have no idea where south is. So I'm dry. Have you ever seen a man, grown man, yelling at his phone? That was me on the week. And what happened was I was left to myself to define which way was north. Without, you know, God in my life, on the throne of my life, in charge, I'm left to myself. And I'm not very good at that. Any lost sense of God, I lose direction in life. And I am not the person God created me to be, to anybody. And worship is getting a sense of not where's north, but where's God. Where's God again? Because you and I, more than we like to admit, that gets knocked way off. Where's God and who is God? And who is God to me? I talked about us bumping God off the throne of our lives. And I think a focused worship is putting him back on, intentionally putting him back on again, intentionally. And I know I can sing songs, but that, it's not worship, you know. I can read the Bible, that's not worship. It's what my heart is doing at that point in time. And it is my heart and my soul and my mind, and it's also my emotions. Because if worship doesn't touch your emotions, you're either not human or you're a Baptist, I guess. I don't know. But and I grew up Baptist, and the only time I ever put up my hands was to yawn. God made our emotions. God made them. And they should touch your emotions as well. And I'm not a big, showy, emotional, expressive guy. But there is a verse that says, deep calls to deep. And I need to learn how to worship. I need to learn how to worship. And that is opening myself up to God. And some of you, God bless you. You're coming here to church and you sang the songs. And you're saying, I don't get it. I don't get it yet. And you know what? That's okay. You're learning. You know, you're seeing what's going on. But it's beginning to kind of say to God, I don't know, I'm surrendering just a little bit of myself. And maybe next week you'll surrender a little bit more to say, God, I'm now learning to trust you to come in and take over. Deep calls to deep. And the writer in the depth of his heart is calling to the depths of the greatness of God. My deep is calling to the depths of God. Okay, here's just a point. Come close to God in worship because I need it. I need it. You need it. Worship is something you need. God does not need your worship because God doesn't need anything. God created it for you. And that's why it says the nearness of God is my good. Again, without God, I'm forced to define myself. And that's scary when I start to try and define myself, or I try and define what my life's all about, or without God, I try and define what's happening to me. And if you've ever said, like everybody in the world has said, what's God trying to teach me, or what is God doing to me? Do you know where that gets lost? I mean, when I say lost, when you start to worship, all of a sudden, it doesn't really matter that much anymore. Well, why not? Because all of a sudden you're overwhelmed by the greatness of God and you have a confidence that he knows what he's doing, and because he loves me so much and he knows what he's doing, I don't need to know the answer why. I'm just okay. And that's what worship does. And that's why the nearness of God, it's my good. And I need for my good to say to God, you're God, I'm not. And I'm really okay with that. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up now, and they're going to set it behind me because we're going to worship in just a second a little bit more. Come close to God in worship. And I'm going to tell this to some of you that are saying, who am I to approach God? Come close to God in worship because it's okay. You know, it's really okay. What does that mean? Some of you are going through the Bible in a year and you're probably about ready to quit now because you're in Leviticus, you know, which is an impossibility to read almost. And it's going to talk a lot about the temple, or it's going to talk a lot about the curtains and the construction of all this kind of stuff. And you're thinking, why am I reading this stuff? The temple in Jesus' day was a big deal with courtyards, and it had inner courtyards, and it had porticos, and it had even inner courtyards. And the deeper you got into it, you know, the more special you had to be, or the more holy you had to be, or the more sacrifices you had to give to get into this. And it's a big deal. And why do they have to do that? I mean, why? What's the point? Well, it's because God wanted to emphasize to the people that were just kind of trying to construct their belief system. God wanted to say, look, I am a big deal. I am a big deal. And I'm going to give you a very physical reminder, a visual reminder of that. And what God wanted to say is, I'm holy. I'm different. I'm set apart. And in the middle of this whole temple deal was a thing called the Holy of Holies. Holy of Holies. And it was symbolic of the presence of God. God didn't live there, obviously. But Holy of Holies sounds pretty holy to me, you know. But the issue was, what got stuck in people's mind was, I can't go in. I can't get close to God. And it was almost as if God in history embedded an object lesson in this whole deal. And the Holy of Holies was separated from everything else by this really big curtain, really big. It's like 60 feet high, and it was like a couple inches thick, and you can't go in. The priest could do it, and it was a ceremonial deal. And you think, why is this such a big deal? It's because, again, God wanted to embed in us an object lesson. When Jesus was on the cross, God said, okay, enough. Enough. Enough of curtains, enough of all this priesthood stuff. And Jesus on the cross, the Bible says in a bunch of different places, Jesus did what? Ripped the veil wide open. It was torn. And the holy place was now open. And the religious leaders had to put a sign out that said, closed until further notice. Whereas Jesus was trying to say, no, it's what? Open forever. Open forever. And so I'm going to read this, and we're going to kind of again prepare our hearts, because we're going to do a couple more songs of worship. And I want you to express all of you to all of God. But it says this, so dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. And by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting in him. Let's bow a moment. Would you bow with me, please? Take a deep breath if you like. The very God that gives you that ability to take that breath is the very God who says, enter. You can come close to me. It's all right. Your guilt and your shame have been washed away, overcome by the blood of Jesus. God, right now we want to praise you for what you made, what you did for us. Depths of our heart, we want to say you are worthy. You are worthy.